Welcome into the Boardroom Podcast. I'm Ward 6 Alderman Ben Piper.
Ward 4 Alderman Chad Wicker. How you doing, Ben?
It's been a long week, man, but I'm here. We're here. We're making it happen.
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
It's well.
The weather's nice today.
Well, so in people that are in sales will understand what I'm about to say and probably heard it many times. At the end of the month, or the end of the quarter,
had to make
and
a
you
quarter.
go over to the next month. Let's say you did good, right? Let's say you crushed it and you made your company a bunch of money, all that kind of stuff. It don't matter. The calendar flips over. You go from a hero to a zero. Everybody starts over again. And then sometimes you go from a zero to a zero. So you're catching up. So that's first week of a new quarter is always a lot. So been busy.
Sell those paper clips, man.
Got to sell them. Get out there and sell them.
Soccer's over. Baseball starting.
We have one more soccer game, 6U soccer game.
Yeah, so the Mermaids. One Saturday.
The Mermaids got to play the Redbirds on Saturday morning.
I think
so.
We play 9 o'clock.
We're at 10:30, so if you stick around, you can see the highlight show. It'd be a fun game. But, yeah, the girls have been playing soccer. They've been enjoying that out there. There is a – this is important, little soccer note. There's a 5-on-5 soccer summer league that's going to be going on in June and July. Registration just opened up for that. But you can get up to 10 players on a team. I think it's $400 registration fee. So, 10 players, maybe $40 per player. But that is live now at the City Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I think so. They did it last year. It was pretty big. It's been growing every year. So it should be a good thing. I think the middle school, Hernando Middle School is going to have some teams. Lewisburg Middle School will have some teams.
That'd be fun.
In there. There'll be some competitive teams. There'll be rec teams. So,
yeah.
Get you a squad together and get out there.
Well, I'm thinking about it. The City of Hernando Parks Facebook page is a good information page. So if you want to like that or follow it on Facebook. I know it's this morning. I think they put out about the fishing rodeo.
Oh, yeah. Fishing rodeo May 11th coming up.
That's a good – I'm going to take the boys out there. That was fun.
It will be a good time. You get to catch a fish, win a prize, courtesy of the Optimist Club. So
yeah, that's right.
That Mississippi Wildlife and Fisheries came
in. What's the biggest fish you ever caught?
The biggest fish I ever caught? Man, I'm not a good fisherman now. I learned how to fish in my granddaddy's catfish pond.
There you go.
That he had on his property, and we would throw a cup of dog food out there.
And they just come running
to get them going.
Come swimming,
and then we'd throw some chicken livers on a hook. And it was just like shooting fish in a barrel, but
chicken liver. That's right.
Chicken catfish will eat up some chicken liver. They stink. They're just raw chicken liver. I mean, that's right. But they, I would say I probably hadn't caught bigger than a 3-pound fish in my whole life.
I got you.
That's probably about the biggest fish I ever caught. What about you?
Probably something like that. I'm not a big fisherman. My brother-in-law, he actually pretty good at it. My father-in-law, they've caught some good sized fish. They go out on the Ross Barnett Reservoir. They live in Jackson. And what's it called when you do the? I'm not as country, I guess, as you. What's it called? You go out there with the
noodling?
Not noodling. Where you put
like a trot line or something?
Yeah, trot line. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. You stuck your arm out. I thought you were trying to
grab
a fish out of a log there.
No.
I always loved it. I was fortunate enough. My grandparents had a lake house on Lake Sinclair in Georgia, and we would get to go fishing and stuff off the dock and off the boat and stuff. And
it's fun.
I really enjoy it.
A lot of people do that around here, especially with the Archibutler and the lakes and stuff.
I don't get to do it as often as I would like to do it.
Sure.
I'll say that, which is not very often. But
you want to get into the board meeting?
Teach a kid to fish.
There you go.
They can feed themselves for the rest of their life.
That's right. Did you have a good Easter? We didn't talk about Easter.
Easter was great. Lots of egg hunts. We did the deal with the
did you do the customary Facebook church photo?
Yep. I talked about that this week because I posted an old family photo from the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was probably about 4.
Sure.
And I had my bowl cut and my bright blue blazer on, and my sister had me in like a headlock, like turning my head towards the camera so that I would be smiling for the photo. And it's like, this is what family Easter photos used to be like. And now it's like,
it's in front of
a perfect dogwood tree,
it's a big
all
deal.
The deal. So, but yeah, we got the photo. We did good. Had a great Easter service. watched some folks get baptized at church and stuff, yeah. and just, you know, really awesome stuff. But good. How about y'all's?
We actually went to Brandon. I went to Brandon Baptist Church with our Shelby's parents, and had a good time. It was a very good service, very good message, mm-hmm. and like you said, saw a gentleman get baptized there, and it's a fairly large church there. So it was it was a good sized church and good service, and they are kind of. Their pastor there, I think, passed away a year or so ago. So they're in search of one, and they had a gentleman who was an interim pastor, and he did a great job. So,
what is your go to, like Easter? You know, all these big holidays, you got the big family dinner,
the big
spread. What's your go to? What's your favorite Easter thing to eat?
So, to me, Easter is fried fish afterwards.
Love some fried fish.
Yeah, usually fried catfish. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that was our plan for our little event that we did. But I think the person responsible for purchasing the fish priced it out and said, I'm going to do barbecue instead. So we had some pulled pork. But I think the price of fish is up right now, like everything else. So
there is no, like, in this is the thing. Easter is about eggs.
That's
for the kids.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just a kid at heart. Deviled eggs.
Yeah, it's like, that's a good one.
It's one of those ones that, like, we don't make deviled eggs any other time of the year.
Yeah.
Some people do it at football season. I think that's not great because deviled eggs don't need to be sitting out. But deviled eggs on Easter, that's the go-to. And we also do so I love those. And then we shout out to Aunt Sondra that brings them every year to the Easter big family event. And then the other thing we do on Easter morning, they're called resurrection buns. You ever seen these?
No.
So you take some biscuit dough, you get like a can of the biscuits that you whop on the counter. Mm-hmm. All right, and then you kind of flatten them out, put a little butter, some cinnamon sugar, and a marshmallow, and then you fold up the biscuit, and it kind of makes like this little roll, and then you cook it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the marshmallow dissolves, and so it's like an empty tomb. So you tell the story of Jesus or whatever else.
No, I haven't heard of that, but that sounds pretty cool.
But it basically turns a biscuit into a cinnamon roll, more or less. You got the cinnamon sugar, the butter, like all the stuff. They're not healthy at all, but, you know, it's a little demonstration there. So, y'all, there you go. We need like a recipe
That's
hour.
Right.
We need a recipe
That's
podcast.
Right. But to me, it's always this fried fish, you know, french fries, hush puppies.
Man, love some fried fish.
So,
who doesn't love fried fish in Mississippi now?
That's right.
All right, so let's jump into our meeting. We talked enough about food and life and soccer and all the stuff, but we did have a great little group from from Longview Point Baptist Church that had worked on the some bike trails there at Lee Summit Park.
Mr. Benjamin. I wrote him a letter thanking him for his service there, and I believe he helped us with a mountain bike trail there at Lee Summit Park that Life Group is the name of the
Trail Life Troop,
412,
and the American Heritage Girls Troop, 186.
My understanding is that's similar to Boy Scouts, but more, you know, Christ-focused or whatever, Christian-focused group. So,
I think when we were coming up, they had, like, Royal Ambassadors. Like, that was, like, the Boy Scouts kind of. So, I guess the Trail Life Troop is what's taking over.
I don't want to get too political on this issue, but I think some people feel like the Boy Scouts have maybe become woke, and so I think this is the alternative to the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts that are, you know.
I just tried to take my family camping, like, once a year. I don't know. I need to get out more, I guess. But we have some mountain bike trails that go through Lee Summit Park now. Really, really cool stuff. They have three different trails with different difficulties and different, you know, some of them are longer than the others and whatnot. So definitely something to check out there. You know, we set some rules, I guess, as well. There's some proposed rules.
I believe Benjamin came up with the rules himself. So that was part of his project.
But that is a very, very cool project. So you may have noticed that. We also talked about probably the biggest part of the meeting was looking at the Hernando sign ordinance, amending that. So, Chad, give us a little bit of history on why we're looking at an amendment here.
So, probably some listeners of the show will remember during the 2021 city elections, there was a small controversy when you started seeing political signs started getting posted fairly early. You know, we do have The city has a sign ordinance on the books that regulates political signs and all types of signs, but specifically political signs. But there was a Supreme Court case some time back that basically voided the part of our sign ordinance as it related to political signs, because you cannot regulate speech, okay, Ben? And so since that time, it's been the position of the city attorney that there is no enforceable sign ordinance for political signs, and that's why you've seen, I know during the most recent election in August, you know, the primary in August, and then right now you see Roger Wicker signs everywhere around the Senate election.
That's right.
There's no regulation. You can put any size sign anywhere you want, as many as you want. And I think this board wanted to address that. It's one of the things we try to tackle. Now, obviously, it's not the most important thing we've done, so now that's why we're in our third year getting to it. We've tasked our city planner with coming up with a sign ordinance. He has developed one, mm-hmm. and working with the Planning Commission, they have one they've presented to us at the meeting on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I've posted that to our Facebook page, Dropbox link, if anybody wants to look at it. I think they're also posted on the city website. So, and what I really thought was good, Ben, is that Austin, our city planner, is begging, I think would be the right word, for some type of feedback before we have a finalized plan. Everything we have right now is simply proposed, and we've found some issues that probably need to be changed and addressed. I think one thing that Miss Ross or Beth brought up, Alderman Ross brought up, was the regulation on the size of the sign, and she mentioned that realtor signs are maybe a little bigger than what we have in there, so that's something we'll probably address. I know there's also, I've had some people reach out to me on Facebook when I posted it from the Deer Creek neighborhood about only allowing the happy birthday yard sign stuff once a year or something like that. So
yeah, if you got multiple kids, that's not really.
That's right. So that's something we can. And I will say, I don't think the intention of this was to really regulate that type of sign anyway. This is really to get us something in place to enforce on these political signs.
Yeah, I think that there were some specific things that were called out. There's like the flags that have like sail on them that are kind of staked in the ground, that can be blown away really easily, and that are distracting, I guess. And then there's the wild, wacky inflatable tube flailing arm guy.
Part of it that's in here is this finally allows us to have murals painted in the area.
Amended in there.
This also allows people to have, I guess the type would be like a lighted sign, like a text billboard type sign.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I think Community Bank has one similar that I'm not sure that's within the sign ordinance, but I think something like that.
Well, and ultimately, and what people have to, I think, we'll back up a little bit. Why is this a function of government, right? To regulate signs in a city? There's the aesthetics of it, right? That you want to say, like, look, if you're going to have a sign, we want it to look nice.
That's right.
You know, we're trying to upkeep the appearance. And then there's the part of like having a distracting sign, because there's studies and, you know, if you really get into all this stuff, there's findings within the ordinance that says, you know, according to this study done, distracted drivers cause this many accidents a year, so you want to make sure you don't have, you know, distracting signage, right?
That's right.
And that's really like the jumping off point for why this is a thing. Because I'm on the side of like people should do what they want to do on their property. Like that in general, that is how I feel, right? If you want to have a sign in your yard that says, you know, vote for Donald Trump or vote for this candidate or whatever, or John 3:16, or whatever you want to put.
Yeah, we're not regulating the speech on the sign at all.
Then you should be able to put whatever sign out, and if you want to put it out all year long, you know, that I get that. I totally understand all that deal. But it, you know, needs to be a certain size. It doesn't need to be a billboard in your front yard.
Right,
you know, so
right.
there's some intricacies to that.
And like business signs, I think the way our current ordinance is set up now, it's basically Based on the square footage of the building is the size of the sign you can have, I believe.
Right.
So, you know, obviously the bigger the building, the little larger of a sign you can have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense to me.
Right. I think the big thing will just be, I think that a lot of people, the last election cycle, in the last city election cycle told me that I'll just be so glad when all these signs are gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people get sick of looking at them. They blow out of the yards and all that sort of thing. And the other part in Mississippi you have to consider too, you haven't seen it as much, but we essentially have an election almost every single year.
Yeah, we do.
We've got a presidential and Senate election this year. Next year will be city elections. 2026 will be another round. That may be the 1 year we have off. And then 2027, county elections come back.
Yeah,
again.
we have
so
elections.
It's almost nonstop.
We have elections almost every year.
So the temporary signs, they're only temporary because the name on them changes.
Yeah.
But signs are still constantly going up. Yeah. So
and one thing that we probably ought to mention is that this ordinance will eliminate the large, you know, 4x8 signs. Those for political or whatever you want to call them, event signs, you will no longer be able to put those big signs up. And so
even on commercial property.
Even on commercial property. I think it limits the number of regular, what would you call them, 2x2 signs or whatever they were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think to 4 or 6 in a yard during election time.
There can be larger signs put on commercial properties, but I think it's 8 square feet is what it limits it to,
that.
I think that's what so that's basically a 4 foot by 2 foot.
Yeah.
So you could still have a larger sign on a commercial property, but it will limit the size. And part of that is we had, you know, specifically, you know, on election day, I think we had some accidents that almost happened at some of the voting precincts because there were so many large signs you couldn't see. The right-of-way was obstructed.
Yeah, that's right.
So there were some issues there, and, you know, people couldn't see when they were turning in and out of places. So that can definitely become an issue. But, enough on signs, I think. I think that's enough. That covers that.
And they're like, signs everywhere, signs. Isn't that a song?
I think it is.
I think that's what we'll title this one.
Signs, song. Signs everywhere, signs. Like it. We also made an amendment to the animal control ordinance that really just extended the amount of time a dog is kept from 5 days to 10 days in accordance with the state law. And that was really all that came down to there. If somebody's dog bites somebody and it's picked up by animal control, that we have to hold them for 10 days.
Yeah, Jessica, our animal control officer, realized that our current ordinance was not in compliance with state law, so we simply just put it in compliance with state law. Didn't change anything else. So,
hey, get your dogs, you know, all their shots and all that stuff. And we have a leash law in Hernando, so if your dog is out, like, it's supposed to be on a leash.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I think everybody, you know, when dogs are out playing in the front yard.
What's the guy from The Price is Right? What do you always say? Get your dog sprayed, neutered.
Sprayed, neutered. Bob Barker, RIP. But yeah, so that was the bulk of the meeting there. What else we got going on in Hernando?
I think it's just great community to live, work, and play.
Absolutely.
It's that time of year where people are getting out. You got events. You got like the Mud Bug Bash is coming up for the Palmer
April
Home.
20th. Yep.
I think you've been involved with planning that. That's always a good time, a good fundraiser for them.
Should be a good night. We've got a lot of progress at the high school. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you've been by the high school recently.
I don't go that way much. I'm more southbound now.
So you really should, if you go out that way, one of the good things that's coming is that you will have that section of road is going to be paved.
At some point in our lifetime.
At some point before the school opens. The funding is there. We're trying to get that taken care of. But there is still a lot of heavy construction going on there. But you can definitely see the exterior of the building really taking shape. You can see where the football field is going to be, the concession stand, the bleachers are out there, and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of really good progress going on out there.
I know the kids are excited about it. You know, it's to get to go to a new school and a school that's going to be essentially probably when it opens the nicest one in Mississippi.
It's going to be a very, very nice school. Definitely.
A nearly $100 million school. I mean,
it's going to be a really nice, really, really nice project when it's all said and done. And, it's very likely going to lead to a lot of growth for that Mackinville corridor and that exit specifically, because the traffic count's going to increase. So, you know, I know one thing that's become a huge priority is the intersection right there Green Tea and 51, and or not Green Tea and 51, Green Tea and Mackinvale, yes. which we talked about on some previous episodes. So the small update that we have to give now is that MDOT's working, I guess, to get some of the landscaping cut back there on the, in the right-of-way to make it a little easier to see when you're making turns. There's a street light that's planned to go in there at that intersection. And I think there's some new signage coming in. But ultimately, that intersection remains still a pretty dangerous intersection to make turns at. There's some major improvements that are needed.
We were talking the other day about some other possible developments there, Ben, and I think me and you agree it's probably time to really look at maybe doing some real updates to Green Tea, four-lane it or something like that. I know that's going to be a very expensive project, but if we're going to continue to allow new business to come there, we've got to.
It would just be tough with that overpass. I mean, that's the challenge with widening Green Tea. You got an overpass over the interstate there.
I think there's some things that are possibly coming that we really need to.
There's a lot of development that's going to come to that corridor.
It's going to make, for me anyway, it's going to make continue to approve developments there without any road improvements are going to be very difficult.
And sometimes when those developments come, like that people may not realize this, but when a development comes to a certain area, the city may ask for a lane improvement or like an extra lane to be paved in front so they have a turn lane to get in and out of a business or something like that. But all those things are up for negotiation when a developer wants to come in and develop a piece of property.
A lot of times they'll put in a turning lane or something like that. And that's what I'm saying. We've got to start making, and we need to start the discussion on four-laning that road. And in the meantime, start making, maybe the developers pony up a little bit on some of those areas.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Good. That's definitely a good shout out to that for sure. What else we got going on, Hernando? Everything's pretty quiet, I guess.
Well, it's just that time of year. Everybody's out, cutting the grass, and it's that time of year. Everybody's getting into the spring and summer, and school's winding down. You got about 6 weeks left of school. What are y'all doing this summer? Where's the kids going this summer?
I think Ann Wallen's going to do DeSoto Family Theater. I think she's got she's wanting to do one of their camps. There's of course Vacation Bible Schools and all those kind of things the little ones will be going to, and they'll be spending some time with their grandparents and all that. Sure. So it'll be a pretty low key summer. I think that last year we did a little too much, and the kids felt like they missed out on other kids' birthday parties and all that sort of thing. So they kind of wanted to have more of a kind of wanted to stick around Hernando a little bit more this summer.
Sure, but I think that's really what's going on.
Before you know it, it's going to be football season. I mean, baseball season's going really well. Baseball team is rolling now. They are rolling. If you heard the fireworks on Thursday night, it was they got another district win.
They beat Oxford last night.
Yeah, I think they're 6-0 or 7-0.
I think they played Oxford last night, and that's Lewisburg is loaded. I think they have two or three D1 prospects.
Somebody was telling me that when the starting nine for Lewisburg and Hernando is on the field, it's like 11 or 12 players that have scholarships for next year.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think Oxford's right there. They're strong. Mm-hmm. DeSoto Central usually has a strong program. So I mean, it's a lot. The baseball in this area has always been strong, and I think it's strongest now than it's ever been. Even when I was coming up, and there's some strong baseball teams. You always had D1 college players. So
it's one of Mississippi's best exports is baseball players, because we definitely churn them out for sure. Every part of the state,
like Mississippi, Louisiana, they're pretty strong in baseball. You usually have a lot of good baseball players in that area. Texas too, but anyway, you want to talk anything on the state level?
What do we have going on
state level? Well, I think the biggest thing that we've heard is the PERS issue, the public employee retirement system. So the biggest news is basically the legislator didn't act on the bill that was, I think, going to change some of the breakdown of the committee of PERS, the executive board of PERS. And so I think at this point we're still back to square one. I don't think there's any other vehicle to make any changes this year with the PERS program. So I would encourage, I know this may be, a lot of people probably don't care about this, but if you go to YouTube and look at the Mississippi legislator, I would encourage you to look at the government structure committee that was held, committee meeting that was held, I think, 2 weeks ago. They have a lot of information about PERS. It was a good meeting, kind of explaining that it's not near, I don't think this is in bad shape as people are saying. Obviously, there is some reforms that probably do need to be made, but I don't think it's at a point now where, you know, you have to take drastic measures. And I think a lot of people, I think Ben, you know, we have to look at the city's responsibility when we increase the employer side of things. But also, this is, you know, probably going to be my retirement system, hopefully. So right. I've kind of got a unique position on it, but I think there's some common sense stuff we can do to make some changes over the long run to shore up the system and also keep our promises to our retirees. So,
I mean, that is why this is such a hotly debated issue, because if you were in your 50s and you have 20 plus years of service and all this and that, and now you hear your entire career that you've staked your retirement on and promises that have been made to you or whatever, now somebody wants to mess with it.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get pretty hot about it, because, you know, this is what you planned on living your life on. So it definitely, any kind of changes or reforms need to be it needs to be extremely transparent. And you know, I think that it's difficult for full-time employees to be able to watch what's going on or to catch up on what's going on in Jackson every day.
That's right.
And so that is definitely one of the challenges with this whole deal. You know, I certainly know from the city's standpoint, like with any kind of increase to PERS, you know, really, really simple math for the city of Hernando, at least, our payroll is about $10 million. So a 2% increase for the PERS would be about $200,000 a year. You know, that's something that we can figure out and make work, because that's, in the grand scheme of things, within the entire city budget, you can find $200,000, you know, to make sure you're shoring up what the, you know, retirement plan is for your employees.
Right. And it's a very complex issue when you talk about investments, and, you know, you'll hear people say it's $26 billion in unfunded liability. That probably is true if everybody was to retire tomorrow that's in the system, but obviously that's not going to happen. And so I don't think that's a fair statement. I think there is some areas that need to be shored up. I think we can possibly look at making some reforms, but also keeping the system the same for the people who are currently in it. I think there's a plan to create a fifth tier. If some of the listeners may be familiar with the system, there's four tiers now, making a fifth tier, and make that maybe a higher percentage they have to pay on their side, things like that.
You are far more well versed in this. I don't know. I don't know nearly as much about that.
The biggest issue is that there's two things that's really messing the system up. One is there were some reforms done by the state legislature in 1999, 2000, 2001 that included benefits that they didn't pay for, and so that's about $4 billion of that. $26 billion is benefits paid to people who did not actually pay into the system, but are withdrawing out of the system, essentially, and to be very simplistic. And then Republicans took control of state government in 2012 for the first time in maybe 100 years or so, over 100 years. And one of their goals was to shrink the size of the state government. So by doing that, they eliminated a lot of positions in state government. And so if you have less people who are state employees, you have less people paying in the PERS. So that's increased the difference there. And then just like with Social Security and everything else, I mean, there's the baby boomer population was huge population that are now retiring and into their golden years. And then the population, the generations behind that have not been as big. And so there's a difference. And unfortunately, you know, to sound morbid, but it'll catch up, because eventually, you know, the baby boomers
will be
going away. So, and then also another part of it that you don't hear a lot of people talk about is the reason they claim to have such a big unfunded liability is because they're assuming a 7% rate of return. Okay. The average of PERS has received about a 9.5% rate of return. So,
okay.
So if you take that assumption, that closes that gap quite a bit. So.
I would love to get a 9.5% rate of return on my investments.
I think they're pretty diversified. So,
man, goodness gracious. Well,
they pay a person to manage it. And I think that was some of the discussion. I encourage people to listen to that government structure Senate committee meeting that was held, I think, end of March.
I might need
a lot of good information was put out for people who are in PERS.
I might need to be moving my money around more. I'm only getting about 5 or 6%. Lord have mercy. So leaving some money on the table.
But
now.
I think they got $60 billion in assets. So.
That's more than me. That's pretty substantial.
What else you got, Ben? We're coming up on the 30. We're trying to keep it around 30 minutes or so. So what else you got, real quick?
I think that's all I've got for right now.